Hey, everybody. Good afternoon or early evening, whatever you may see fit. It is the Thursday 30 of WrestleNomics. I am Chris Gello, joined alongside Brandon Thurston.
I don't know if how they see fit really matters, does it? I don't think that most people have control over the time of day or where the sun is positioned relative to their place on the earth.
So 5 o'clock is debatable, though, for afternoon, evening.
Yeah, but we're the only two people who are experiencing this at 5 o'clock.
That is true. But if they were to watch it any day, any time at 5 o'clock. But yeah, as we digress here, this is a Thursday 30, so we got to cover a lot in a short time period. We're going to discuss the AEW ratings that have just came out, including quarter hours. We'll discuss tomorrow. Tomorrow was an interesting day because Raw and NXT are leaving Hulu. And we will also discuss SmackDown ratings in correlation to
Hulu.
We'll
discuss. We'll get into it.
SmackDown ratings in correlation to the White Rabbit. We got a David Zaslav comment and much more on today's edition of the Thursday.
If we get to it,
we might not
get to things that get pushed to Sunday. In any case, we can begin. I suppose we'll begin with the Dynamite rating. But first, this is the Thursday 30, and this is going to be a subscriber-exclusive podcast beginning in November, but it's free for everybody throughout the rest of September and the rest of the entirety of October. So every Thursday, we're going to drop this. We're going to put it in the WrestleNomics Radio free podcast for that free period. We're going to put it on YouTube for everybody during that free period, and we're going to put it also in the subscriber feed for everybody. So anyway, there's also, we should probably let everybody know, you may have heard other people in the Patreon universe discussing this. Patreon has finally allowed us to bill people on their own separate individual schedules. So it's not the case anymore that the first of the month is the best time to sign up for the Patreon. Any day of the month is the best time to sign up because you'll be on your own 30-day schedule going forward forevermore. Everybody that's already a subscriber, you'll just continue to get billed every 30 days as you are. But anybody new, any day is good to sign up to get the TV ratings reports that come out nearly every day, the quarter hour reports, the WrestleNomics viewership spreadsheet, slides, and things of that nature. We also had a podcast on Sunday that's on YouTube and in the free feed if you haven't already checked that out, discussing celebrities in wrestling and other topics. The Dynamite rating, though. What was the Dynamite rating, Chris Gull? Do you know?
Yeah. So the Dynamite.
You've read your WrestleNomics ratings report twice, I think, in anticipation of this moment.
Yeah. So we have dropped under a million for the total viewership. We're at 990,000.
Oh, my God. It went that low? Under a million?
Yeah, under a million, 990,000. Oh, and we got a 0.34 in the 18 to 49. So a drop from last week. This is the lowest total viewership since August 17th.
That's true. How long? Oh, this is a month and a half. It's been a million for a number of weeks in a row. I think we have the last many weeks here going back to June. This is the first time it's gone under a million since August 17th. Demo rating. This is the lowest demo also since August 24th. But this is only one ratings point lower than last week, which was Grand Slam, which you would expect to be a highly viewed episode, but it was only... Not that it was less viewed than the week before, which is not a highly anticipated episode. You know, as I was putting these slides together and you know, anticipating us doing this episode, I was thinking, you know, I don't believe in. I know other people will go over each demo and things like that, and ascribe a narrative, a story to why the rating changed. First of all, we're dealing with a sample. Secondly, we're dealing with really an organic situation here, where, you know, there's a linear broadcast and there's other things going on. Most importantly, this week we had, where is the chart? There it is. Hurricane Ian.
Yeah.
Is that how people are pronouncing it?
Yeah. Ian, I believe. Yeah.
Caused a lot of destruction in Florida and dominating the top seven of the eight top slots that are above Dynamite. Dynamite only ranked number nine this week. It did a fairly normal rating, though, I would say, in the demo. But it only ranked number 9, 20 overall, which would be its lowest rank in a long time. I don't know when it would have even ranked as low as 9 before, probably a long time ago when there was other big events in the news being covered. In any case, the Weather Channel was the winner here for 1849, if you want to call it a winner in the case of hurricane coverage. Tucker Carlson was also above one slot above Dynamite. I know you watch Tucker Carlson all the time, given your bow tie. So was he covering the hurricane too?
I can deny those rumors that I do not watch Tucker Carlson because of the
book.
Okay. No, I do not. No. I do not watch Tucker Carlson. I am the bow tie.
You met him and he gave you his bow tie. That's why he doesn't wear the bow tie anymore and you do.
No. Once again, these false narrative. Where are you getting your info from, Brandon?
These allegations are without merit and you intend to vigorously defend yourself against them.
You know, here I am. I'm working with children, spreading false lies and rumors. And where's my muffin and my seltzer?
All right. The number one slot, Storm Center at 5 o'clock p.m. That did it 0.47. So that's like, that's a little bit higher than what Raw did this past Monday to give you some idea of how many people were watching the Weather Channel. 2.9 million viewers. Again, Dynamite did a 0.34 and 990,000 viewers, just 10,000 short of a million. I don't view this. I view this almost positively, you know, considering their you know, attention was averted elsewhere to a big news event. Everything is down to a similar degree across the demos. I don't think there's much to analyze there. If you look at men 12 to 34, in fact, the most viewed show was Dynamite for whatever that's. I mean, that's not a huge deal, but that's something.
When all it's said and done, it was a successful month for them TV ratings wise. I think, in comparison to most of the summer.
Yeah, I mean, there were those. What did we have here? They had these 3 weeks here, which are the 7th, the 14th, yep, and the 22nd. Yes, the first 3 weeks of September, where they did nearly a 0.40 for those weeks. It's pretty good. Ratings can always be higher. The Super Bowl rating could always be higher. But this was pretty good, and they continue to rank highly. This is an exceptional case where there's a big event in the world that's happening that outranked them. Quarter hours, which all subscribers will have access to. A new invention added to the quarter hour table here. I'm now, and this is not just for Dynamite, I'm going to do this for everything going forward. I went through all the Excel spreadsheets, I think last night, and I did this. We're going to identify which quarters had ad breaks in them in the table. And in the case of Dynamite that has picture-in-picture ad breaks, those are also going to be identified. If you're seeing this on YouTube, you'll have a better idea of what I'm saying. Where this is meaningful is that we can now say just by looking at this table that in quarter hour 2 and in quarter hour 6, those two quarters had two ad breaks in them. They both had one traditional ad break, and then they had a picture-in-picture ad break. Bearing those things in mind, one would expect that those quarters would take a disproportionate negative impact. Anyway, I literally just punched these numbers into the spreadsheet right before we hit record here. So I have not taken any time to look these over. We do have our automatically conditionally formatted cells filled in here that tell us, hey, this one performed 5%, 5 percentage points better than usual. This one performed 5 percentage points worse than usual. In the demo, we have no green positive boxes filled in. We do have 3 negative boxes filled in, though. Those 3 negative boxes are quarter hour 2, quarter hour 3, and quarter hour 7. What was in those? Quarter hour 2 had Brian Danielson and Matt Menard, which went through a picture-in-picture ad break. This quarter also had a traditional ad break in it. Again, that was one of the quarter hours we just identified a moment ago, saying that had 2 ad breaks, one traditional, one picture-in-picture. It also had the Juice Robinson and John Moxley video. And then quarter hour 7, another one that had it did not have 2 ad breaks in it. It only had 1 picture-in-picture ad break. The one that had 2 ad breaks in it is quarter hour 6, which in the demo did work a little bit worse than usual, almost was filled in red. It did about 5. There must be like a rounding error there to just keep it from triggering the red box. But anyway, this quarter hour 7 lost 8% of the viewers. Quarter Hour 7 of late in the last 4 weeks has been losing almost no viewers. So what was in Quarter Hour 7? Andrade, Butcher and the Blade, Private Party, Matt Hardy angle, that backstage angle, Ricky Starks and Eli-ism, is that how you say that? A Jungle Boy promo, and the beginning of the Chris Jericho and Bandido match going through a picture-in-picture ad break. We don't really have positive stories to tell here. We can say in total viewership, Quarter Hour 4, the last one before the top of the hour, did gain 5% in total viewership, whereas it usually that quarter gains, or I'm sorry, loses 1%. So that overperformed in total viewership, and it did overperform in the demo. The only one that really, again, I'm looking at this stuff for the first time, but that is the only quarter that overperformed at all in the demo. If you see what I'm saying there, did a plus 3% in the demo quarter to quarter. Usually that quarter loses 1%. Again, I'm talking about Quarter Hour 4, the 8:45 quarter that had John Moxley versus Juice through picture-in-picture ads and a post-match situation with Hangman and MJF. Is that right? Hangman and MJF?
MJF did something with Yuta last night.
Yeah. So maybe MJF belongs only in the following quarter where he is labeled. Takeaways from this? Do you have any takeaways? And then I'll debate you.
Obviously the hurricane coverage was the big factor. I mean,
like the quarter hour specifically. Because you shared later, and people are going to derive a narrative from this.
I wouldn't say the sky is falling. You know what I mean? That, you know, dropping in the second quarter, it could be just we know it's a natural effect from the Big Bang Theory. People probably tuning out.
I'll say this that I haven't said. If you look at the line chart, we've been talking in recent weeks about how maybe the Big Bang Theory isn't, and it isn't performing as well as it did earlier this year, where it was doing really strong ratings, and you think that influences the early quarter hours, especially Quarter Hour 1 of Dynamite. And that hasn't been the case so much in recent weeks. Definitely the case in this week. Quarter Hour 1, 1.2 million viewers. And maybe that's what we can say here that my math can't account for. What I'm doing in these boxes here is I'm calculating the loss or gain of viewership from quarter to quarter. You can't do that for Quarter Hour 1 because I don't know, certainly as we sit here, I don't know what the Big Bang Theory did. If I had all the data in the world, when we have, 10,000 subscribers on Patreon, maybe I'll see if I can get a Nielsen subscription and then we'll know exactly what Big Bang Theory did. We'll know maybe in next week sometime what the Big Bang Theory did. But anyway, I don't know what Quarter Hour 1 gained or lost. And there's all different metrics and facts that I understand Nielsen will give you in terms of how many people actually tuned in, how many people actually didn't tune in, but they watched the last quarter hour of the Big Bang Theory. How many of those people did you inherit? How many people did actually arrive to watch your show? But anyway, my point is, maybe there's some credit that should go to this first quarter hour. Full disclosure, I had a hand in training Daniel Garcia, who's involved in this quarter, in this live promo with Chris Jericho. So maybe there's some credit that goes to that first quarter for doing as big as it did when usually this first quarter is not doing 1.2 million viewers. It was the most watched quarter by far in the demo in total viewership. Maybe there's something to that. Again, we've been seeing more of a flat, consistent line in recent weeks, which is somewhat reflected in the dashed line that we're looking at here on the chart, right? But what we did have is what we've often seen, though, in this year since Dynamite has been on TBS, is a really big quarter hour one and then a drop-off after that, presumably because you have a large audience watching The Big Bang Theory, which is one of the most watched rerun programs on all of cable, and people who are not there to check out Dynamite, they go do something else. Maybe some of what actually happened here was that there was genuine interest in that quarter hour one Dynamite segment. Maybe. Anything to add to that or question?
Nothing much. We had, the women's wrestling segment was in the second hour, which they've had it in the first hour, is it normally, right?
It was back in the '6 or '7 last week, I believe. The much talked, I'm sure people would be curious. You know, the much talked about Soraya. What's the appropriate pronunciation? You're a big pronouncer of words, being a ring announcer. Soraya. The much talked about Soraya segment, which was in quarter hour five, top of the hour. This also incorporated, in the same quarter hour, the MJF and Yuta live angle lost 3% of the demo, 2% of the total viewership, which is slightly lower than the 4-week trend. So I don't see a story there. That's not a conclusion about whether that segment was good or not. That's just to say that it's not as if tons of people tuned out. Okay. Anything else there before we go?
No, I wouldn't, you know, just the sky isn't falling. You know, it was overall a good month.
You're such an AEW shill.
I'm just such being realistic. And we'll talk about WWE ratings soon, you know, on SmackDown.
Okay. We'll get to that in a moment. Hulu. There is now a tag on the Hulu content on the WWE content on Hulu, with the exception of SmackDown. SmackDown is a separate deal. I would say I've confirmed that SmackDown is a separate deal that is sublicensed through Fox. So if SmackDown is not a part of what's happening here. What is a part is Raw and NXT, and I think basically all of the other WWE content, which includes Main Event, Up Next, NXT, Miz and Mrs., Bellas, all that stuff. That's all tagged to expire Friday. A few days ago, that was all tagged to expire Tuesday. Tuesday came, this changed from Tuesday to Friday. So I believe that they are working on an extension. I don't know if they're working on a long extension, a short extension, if they're working on an extension that would expire so that it would expire at the same time that the live rights expire with NBC Universal, which would be September 2024. But I believe they're working on an extension, and that is supported by what we're seeing here with where this tag is changing and being pushed off and pushed off. So that's what's happening there. Was there anything else in my notes that I was supposed to say here? I don't think so. Okay.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Moving on. SmackDown. 9/23 came and went.
The White Rabbit.
There was no Bray Wyatt. SmackDown, however, did a massive final number, which we saw indicated by a really big Fast affiliate, what we might call a prelim number. People want to know, was the 9/23 minute, which was hyped in videos and whatnot, correct? Was the 9/23 minute the high minute? Did Bray Wyatt pop this rating? Says some people believe, and I don't have enough data to say yay or nay, Bray Wyatt has never drawn a rating. Did he draw a rating here despite the lack of his appearance?
Not in that quarter hour.
Well, that quarter hour was the second most viewed quarter hour. Okay, the most viewed quarter hour was the 9 o'clock to 9:15 quarter hour, which did almost 2.8 million viewers, and it did 913 in the demo. What is that? Oh, we have not, no, that doesn't apply yet. But we do have 913,000 viewers in the demo is what as a demo rating. Almost a 0.70.
Wow.
That's 0.70 in the demo. So that's what that quarter did, which had Braun Strowman versus Otis and a Brawling Brutes promo and an ad break. So what happened was I've got some limited minute by minute information. We don't have it to display on the screen, but I'm going to tell you what it was. The peak minute. And this is here. This is, I told Gullo off air. We're going to break some minor news. So here's some information that you won't hear anywhere else, right? The peak minute of SmackDown was not 9:23. The peak minute of SmackDown was 9:06, in fact. 9:06, which is not a massive quarter. That's that did what? That did 2.57 million viewers. That's the third most viewed quarter. It's the third most viewed quarter. That quarter hour included the most viewed minute, which did, take a guess. You can see that this show did, what was the show's average? We can go back to the table. This show did 2.535 million viewers. What did it do? What is the highest viewed minute? Take a guess. I'm going to tell you the answer.
914.
No. What? The most viewed minute was 9:06. I'm asking you to guess the viewership, the number of viewers, total viewers, for that highest viewed minute at
9:06. Oh, okay. 2.9 million.
3 million. 3.028 million. Just over 3 million. A hair over 3 million. As we know, the show overall... 3.028 million. Show overall did 2.535 million, which is the highest since that NFL lead-in game, December 25th, Christmas Day, 2020. Discounting that really exceptional case where it did like 3.3 million viewers on average, you have to go back to March 20th, 2020. That's, I believe, the first pandemic show with no audience. You have to go back to that point to find a SmackDown episode that was as highly viewed as this one. Demo was not as extreme, but total viewership was. At 9:23, the viewership, well, they were in an ad break. So the answer to everybody's question here, what did it do at 9:23 when was Bray Wyatt really a draw or not? And what did it do at 9:23? Because that'll tell me the answer whether or not Bray Wyatt's a draw. Well, that answer is obfuscated because at 9:23, guess what was on the screen?
A commercial?
A commercial break. But there was pretty high viewership just before then. That minute, which was the beginning of an ad break, had 2.3 million viewers, which is below the average. But before the ad break at 9:20, the show had 2.9 million viewers at 9:20. Again, 2.9 million viewers. By 9:23, they're in an ad break, and they have 2.3 million viewers. But 2.9 is higher by 11% than the average for that quarter hour, which was what, 2.62?
In any case, 2.626, yeah.
In any case, there's that information. 23 minutes in here.
Yeah, making good time.
Yeah. That's the SmackDown story. All right, tell us about David Zaslav. He sold it, right? He sold it, even though he can't sell it until 2024. He sold it, right? It's all coming down.
He's not. So he had a quote here: "We are not for sale." Warner Brothers Discovery CEO David Zaslav told employees at a company Zoom town hall on Wednesday, according to several attendees, "We have everything we need to be successful to be the biggest entertainment media company in the world." Zaslav acknowledged the industry is going through major change and urged patience.
So this is in response to what? Why do you think he made this statement to employees?
Uncertainty. People have put out sales rumors. The merger, the NBCU merger thing.
There's a report in the Hollywood Reporter a couple weeks ago that perhaps Warner Brothers Discovery would merge with Comcast's subsidiary, NBC Universal. This is meaningful to wrestling fans because the two biggest business partners, the two most important business partners, really, I would say, in the professional wrestling world are NBC Universal, maybe Fox, but NBC Universal and Warner Brothers Discovery, because Warner Brothers Discovery is the TV partner of AEW. NBC Universal is the most important TV partner of WWE. They can't do it until 2024 anyway. So I take this to be like, we might as well say something because people are, you know, there's no transparency and then nobody's talking to the employees about this. We may as well have Zaslav say something. I don't think this necessarily means anything about the future and about 2024 and whether or not they're going to merge maybe with NBC Universal. If I can stress something here, I hear people talk about NBC Universal as if it's not part of Comcast. It's part of Comcast.
Yeah, it's together. Yeah.
And Comcast is a telecom company. It's a cable system. Lord, what else does Comcast do? It does something else, but it escapes me. I'm gonna yell at myself later. But they would have to probably spin off NBC Universal, and maybe they would want to for reasons that media experts could explain better than I could. But there's that. I don't take this to mean much either way, but you know, I can understand why he would want to say this and why employees would want to hear him say it. Moving on. Foxtel. What's Foxtel?
Foxtel, I would assume, is a international television network via Fox.
International where?
Let's see here. If you say I find in a little chart that you're about to show the world. Australia.
So Dateline Stanford, Tuesday. WWE and Foxtel Group, which is a property of Fox. Rupert Murdoch controls it, as he controls many things in Australia, because he's from Australia. They announced a new multi-year partnership that will see Foxtel's group's portfolio of entertainment brands become the home of WWE in Australia. What does this mean? So here's the bullet points that they give you. Binge, which is the name of a real streaming service.
That's smart.
I think it's kind of dystopian, personally. But anyway, Binge will become the new streaming home of the WWE Network in Australia beginning January 23. They say from January 23, but you can tell this is an Australian press release. From January 2023, so this coming January. It'll include PLEs for $10 a month. It'll become part of the Binge subscription. So Binge is a streaming service. I haven't looked into what exactly is on Binge, but it sounds like it's becoming like the Peacock situation, right? Where
there'll be a tab, yeah, that will say like WWE, yeah.
There's a streaming service that exists, and we've sold the rights to the WWE content to this streaming service, which is exactly what we've heard Nick Khan say that he wants to do in earnings calls, is that they feel that the best way to monetize the WWE Network content, including the PLEs, is to not, as they were in Australia, selling traditional W Network subscriptions that the U.S. used to be able to buy, but to license it off to larger media companies that will pay more money than the aggregate of consumers will. And I bet those streaming companies and media companies will give W sort of a guarantee of what they're going to get paid. So it's much more predictable financially for WWE. And I would guess, you know, at least in the U.S. case, escalating over time.
This Binge, a lot of HBO properties on here. I've gone to their website. There's House of Dragon and Succession and a few others that they're advertising.
I see. Succession. Have you watched Succession yet? It's only 2 minutes left.
I know. You're telling me to.
You haven't watched Succession yet. You should watch it and think about the McMahons the entire time. W will continue to be available to Foxtel subscribers on both the Fox 8 channel and on a new dedicated 24/7 WWE channel beginning December. Foxtel Group will broadcast on both these channels all WWE's PLEs. So the PLEs are going to be on traditional TV too, it sounds like, as well as they'll be on this streaming network. So maybe if you have cable, if you don't have cable, the PLEs will be there, and there's going to be a 24/7 WWE channel. Selected content will continue to be available via Kayo Sports. We're a little bit out of our depth and not knowing exactly what the media experience, TV experience is like in Australia. So if anybody listening wants to tell us anything that's important to understand related to this, please do. But this sounds like definitely they're getting the TV partners are getting more content. I would guess that means WWE's getting more money, a lot more. I'm not about to upgrade my stock price target, but this sounds like a good financial deal for WWE. And there's a bunch of logos. This is what the Binge logo looks like. Exciting, isn't it? That's it. We're almost at 30 minutes. Anything else to add or question?
No, we'll see what the rating now going into October. We'll see what October tells for AEW, but it seems to be SmackDown. Obviously, Raw is up against Monday Night Football, but SmackDown seems to be going strong since Triple H took over.
Yeah, I mean, I think Dynamite's doing fine. I think Raw, considering Monday Night Football, is doing fine. Whichever promotion you hate or like, you'll have a different opinion relative to that conclusion. And I think SmackDown's doing. We're finally seeing SmackDown do, at least in this case, in 1 week, do really well, while Raw has done particularly well.
Is SmackDown almost doing what Fox probably envisioned in the beginning that they would do?
Probably not. That's a whole other of stuff. We can talk about that.
Yeah.
More on Sunday. Sunday, 11 a.m. We'll be back on YouTube and we'll be in your podcast feed and so forth and things of that nature. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time. Bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.